You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the full-time report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down here. Atlanta United notches their third consecutive draw, and we've got a lot of analysis and breakdown coming your way. We're going to hear from Ronnie Dyla in just a moment at the post-game podium, but before he stepped to the public media, he spoke privately with Madison Cruz.
Ronnie, comeback performance for you guys to tie things up. What did you see from the touchline tonight?
I think very bad start to get that after 1 minute. Of course, they make us everything get very difficult. I think it was even the first half after that, but we have to create more than we did. I think in the second half we were a totally different team in that way, in perspective. We win the ball up on their pitch all the time. We come into the last third of the pitch, we need to create even more than we do, but we have our chances, but we also give away too much. So in the end, I think it's a draw is deserved. But we need to defend better in the counter-attacks, and we give too easy things away. But it's how we want to play. This is how we want to be aggressive. We want to be on their half. We want to press. And then we just need to get better in everything we do.
Will Riley came on in the 71st minute for you guys, was able to get the tying goal. How important has these homegrowns been, especially to the side, bringing that energy and bringing the aggression that you want to see on the field?
We need the homegrown players, you know. Luke come on, did a good job. Will do it, you know. Matt is coming on, so we have some good talent coming from behind, and we need to give them the chance. And if they take them, they get more.
Going into Saturday, what do you want to see improve from the team heading into Charlotte?
I mean, just have to believe more in yourself. You have to be even more eager to get it done. You know, I think we are coming to so many good opportunities. We just need to kill off the games, get more chances out of it. But we're not accurate enough. But I think the two last games, I've seen more relationships. I see more structure in everything we do, and then we can build from there.
Perfect. Thanks, Ronnie. Thank you.
Yeah, a couple of things pop out in my mind here. John Nelson and it's Abe Gordon with the full-time report. And we're going to hear from the entire full post-match press conference in just a couple of moments. It was like 10 minutes into the second half, mm-hmm. John, and I'm sitting here like, man, this is when it's 1-0 at the time. And I'm like, this game's not over. Atlanta United was unlucky to be down the way they were. I don't think they played a great first half, but I thought for stretches they were probably – at times, the better team. I thought for the first 10 minutes out of halftime, they were the better team. And that's, I mean, how often have we been able to say that? No, more often than not, they're conceding after halftime. And I know you've got the scientific flow chart.
The scientific flow chart,
the
right
momentum
here.
And yeah, meter. The momentum meter, or whatever it is.
Momentum meter.
He said it felt like a deserved result. I really do think it did. When I think about the first half, it didn't feel like there was significantly an advantage for Chicago outside of obviously the goal that we'll talk about over the course of time.
The duck head Olympico from Zinkernagel.
But it felt like Atlanta United was at least in this game, which at times hasn't always felt like this season. So I do think a draw is probably a fair result tonight.
Yeah, and you know where you listen to Ronnie Dyla, the first conversation that we hear with him with Madison Cruz. Obviously, you're chasing the game after the Zinkernagel accidental Olympico, where literally it is a corner that is served in. Andrew Gutman ducks, and then Brad is kind of, in between. Caught in between, and so it goes past him, and you're having to chase from the second minute. And obviously, that is not something that you want to do when you're chasing after that. You had Brad make two big saves early. You had the one big save on Bamba as well. You had the early challenge 30 seconds in before the corner that goes in to make it 1-0. And I thought that that was important for Brad to get into the rhythm of the game, as Mike called him, the Hamburglar with that mask. I didn't know if he was Bradman or not. But I thought it was important for Brad wearing the headgear to protect the broken bones and the surgery. I thought it was important to get him involved early on. He gets the two big saves. Pedro Amador off of the free kick in the 10th. Miguel and Latte Lott combining in the 12th, which I know a lot of folks were looking for. So, you know, you're chasing after that first goal. And to Ronnie's point, I thought that it was kind of a back and forth in that first 45. But after that initial part, with Chicago getting the goal, then Atlanta gets into the rhythm of the match.
We'll head downstairs for the post-match press conference. Ronnie Dyla is now speaking.
Are these draws enough to get y'all closer to the playoff line?
Well, we have to start win if we're going to talk about playoffs, that's for sure. So well, we need to work with our performances, as I said all the time. I don't think we deserve to win today. To say that, they had their chances. We had ours as well. But we get it difficult when we concede after 1 minute. They are alone with the goalkeeper after 33 seconds, and then they score on the corner straight in the goal. Then, but that's diseases we had so far this season. It's not the first time we conceded a set play goal. So that's things we had to work on. I think we pressed them quite well in the first half also. We won many balls in their half. Should have created more chances than we were alone with Manu one time there. But this kind of, we knew they were really, really almost naive to play into the center. And in second half, I think we played really well the first 20, 25 minutes of that. And we were in their half all the time. We pressed them, we won the ball. We chased them out of the pitch. But still, we conceded chances in transition and in individual things that we need to do better. So, and it's good that we come back again, that we don't give up, but we keep going and get something out of the game, because there's a big difference between losing and draw as well.
Coach, what was the attitude in the locker room just a minute ago? That's two consecutive draws, but they were comeback draws, so it's not losses.
I think they're tired. I think they run a lot today. You know, when you press like we're doing, we need to also keep the ball more. But I think in second half we did that, and we come into situations. But we need to punish them much more when we are so much around. We don't have enough connection into the box. That's the main thing. We need to, when you go wide, how we come inside and switch like the goal to Alex was really good. We go wide, go inside, go to opposite side, and then you get a shot from outside the box. So we need a bit more timing in these movements. We have played today. We played with 2 8s, especially in the second half. We go higher with Tristan, and I think that also did that. We get more. Alex goes more over to Miggy's side, so that is some positive things. But we need to now. It's 3 days. To be back again, and that's a big game for us. If we can get 3 points there, then we are on our way. As we can see that we should have won more than we have done the three last games, but or lately, but we haven't lost for 3 games, and now we need to turn draw to win to get into this situation that we were talking about with playoff.
Coach, in the attack, the team seems a little predictable, and he struggled to break down Chicago. What do you attribute that to? And then the second, Brennan and Riley in the second half. What were you trying to do with those substitutions?
Predictable. Yeah, maybe you can say that. I think we want to play through lines, and then we want to get overload on the sides. And also press really aggressive so we can win the ball in good situation and take them transition. I think we did both at times, but we forced too much into the center of the pitch instead of going out and in and switch. When we did that in second half, I don't think it was predictable. I think it was really, really good. And why I put on subs, that's a very easy question, because I want them to go in and perform. So Will is now coming into the game twice now, and he has done positive things. Luke, and will come on now, and he scored a goal. So it's very good that we have a young, talented player that can come on and show themselves and make a difference.
Coach, it was Will Riley's first MLS goal tonight that got the tying goal in this game. What was your assessment on his performance tonight?
Yes, he works always hard. It's, you know, to be trustworthy is a very important word. What we have talked about the last weeks, that means that you do your job, the simple things very good, and that you trust also that you're going to do everything you can to help your teammate. So that is what we have been lacking for a long time, that we have started to do others' job. And Will is a guy that you know is going to go his job. He's going to do the fight. He's going to run enough. And then we were difficult to play against. So the basic things is there, and then he has developed a lot during the from he started from 1st of January to now, and he needs to take more steps if we're going to be a regular starter when we are fighting for a bigger position than we are now.
Two questions. The first goal scored by Chicago, the corner kick, it didn't seem like an intentional shot, but I was curious if that was something you scouted, them trying to put the ball right in that spot, right in front of the goal. And the second question is, putting shots on goal seems to be an issue for the team. Moranchuk's and Riley's were the only two shots on goal in the final, I think, 40 minutes of the second half. You go back to the last game, Lotti Lott's penalty kick was the only shot on goal in the second half. Why do you think that is? Is it fixable or is it just odds evening out?
Of course, it's fixable. That's something you have to work on. But I don't think it counts shots. I can't count chances. Okay. So you can shoot from midfield if you want, you know. But I want to see that we are coming into big chances. And we had four chances maybe today. And that's not enough. We should have 6-7. But they have 8-9. So in the end, we are lucky that we get a draw. And I really always behind the results. So they are coming further than us in what we are talking about. But they are good in what they are doing offensively. But they have vulnerable defensively. And we should have been more accurate in the last third of the pitch so we get more shots. Like the one when Manu is alone with the goalkeeper. Yeah. Should be a shot that, you know. If he the goalkeeper save or you know, he tried to go past him. But he could have shoot. So for me, that's a goal chance, you know. So we need more of that. That comes to relations, it comes to structure, and it comes to quality. That's the three things that we are talking about. And structure is about playing each other good and play as a team. And we have played three games in back to the system. We have played a lot. And I think I see progress in things compared to the game against DC. But still, we need to improve certain areas that to create more chances out of what we're doing.
Well, that was Ronnie Dyla here after a 2-2 draw for Atlanta United. I want to take care of a couple things. A quick statistical recap brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Possession 53% to Atlanta, 47% to Chicago. Shots 14-10 in favor of Chicago. Want to be accurate here on the shots on goal count, but 9 for Chicago and 4 for Atlanta United. And a relatively fair XG for both. 1.5 for Atlanta, 1.6 for Chicago. And so when we do talk about some of these, felt like you were in it and a draw was deserved and all of that thing, that certainly was where they were. So. Yeah, the ex-Abe is 2-2 today. I do think felt relatively fair, so I was pretty happy from that perspective. I do want to address, and I know you were writing, John.
Feverishly.
Yeah, we were writing down, and there was a comment, a question, comment, whatever, in regards to the attack being predictable. I don't want to go as far as to say it's predictable. I think that's the wrong expression.
You have your tent poles. You have your approach.
Well,
you have what you want to do, and Ronnie Dyla has things that he wants to do a certain way, and he mentioned in that Q&A that he wants to do things the reverse of what was seen.
The way I see it, though, and here's why predictable is not the right term, but there is some troubling things going on with the attack. Is you've got 6/7 of this field in which you can operate in and do things that look like the other teams in this league, or sometimes better than the other teams in this league. And you've got this strip about 25 yards and in where you can't do anything competent. And that's just what I saw today.
Okay, well, define your term of competent. Define your
threatening.
Term.
You're not okay. threatening in the 25 yards and in.
Okay,
you can get there.
Threatening
and then
to me
nothing.
Is threatening to me is different than competent. That's why I wanted you to define your term.
Well,
of competent.
And this is why I don't want to say predictable. But you can get the ball to 25 and in.
Yeah.
You can't do anything once you get there. That's a problem.
And that has to do with spaces and who is occupying them and trying to navigate those elements of the pitch to try and get a shot, whether it's on the edge of the 18, inside the 18, what have you. So I think that it's I think that to your point, I think that there are folks that end up getting crowded. You saw in the first half where on the right-hand side of the attack you ended up seeing instances where Brooks Lennon, Miguel Almiron, and as a byproduct of that, Alexei Miranchuk, trying to create, but they were within, you know, a triangle of, say, 5 yards among each other. And so you're trying to still navigate those spaces and try and have folks understand what you want versus what ends up happening. And those end up being two different things, I think. And we've seen that a lot this year where folks are crowding into space. And they haven't the individuals in a particular situation may have an idea as to what they want to do, but they all end up going to the same spot. And I think that that's been one of the big issues.
Yeah, I'm not trying to blame anyone about
no,
it.
No, no, no.
It's just, it's frustrating when I'm watching the game tonight. And I'm like,
you're not
man,
the only one frustrated.
They're doing a great job building out of the middle. They're doing a great job building out of the back. And then it gets to a point, and for those of you who watch the game tonight on. You see the stripes, right?
Yeah.
Going across the field.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the light color stripe on our near side, and you get to the dark color stripe on the far side, and it's like, well, that's the end of being relevant moving forward. It just didn't feel like anything was going on once you got to within striking distance. And that's unfortunately why it felt like there were goals to be had at
mm-hmm.
times.
Absolutely.
And that, by the way, that goes to why. The shot on goal stat is nonsense to me because when you work
and it's
in
arbitrary to the individual.
Well, when
who
you work
is doing
in deflections and you work in blocks and stuff like that, it to me it's about. I get it. A shot just gets blasted over the bar. Like how relevant is it?
Yeah.
Right? Like how significant is
that
shot?
Yeah.
I understand. But I thought there were times that I think Lotte had one. I think Saba maybe had one.
Jamal had the header with the great connection
yeah.
here on the near side as you and I are looking, where you had, I want to say it was Luke Brennan who had the cross late in the match trying to chase after the equalizer that found Jamal that ends up being a header over the bar. So that's a shot, yes. Shot on target, I would say, depending on, once again, who the scorer is in this particular case, sure, it could qualify for either or. And so the arbitrary nature of that particular statistic is something that folks need to just keep an eye on when you're looking at shots versus the shots on target.
Yeah, we have a lot still to get to. We're going to have to hear from some of the highlights and a lot more to get to breaking. I mean, there's a couple things I thought went good and a couple things I thought went bad. We're going to break it all down as well. Before we do, though, in our first segment, we always like to hand out a man of the match.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I thought I knew maybe where you would head. And that was when you were in a losing affair. I'm interested to see where you go now.
Well, I think I'm still going to go in one particular direction, and I wish that I had the statistic to fill in my gap space. I'm going to go with Bart Sleash.
Yeah, I thought so.
And with what Bart means and what he has meant to this club, at points tonight it looked like he was trying to drag the club forward. You looked, and it was almost like, okay, well, Bart's at the back. He's an added center back. He's in the midfield. He's in the attack. He's pushing forward. He's going to the gap space. There was one point in the match, and let's see. So there was one point in the match, and I'm trying to do math, so this is never hold this against me. So 7:55, so 1. So it in the 72nd minute, 72nd minute. So with 20, 20, and look.
This is great stuff. That's, I know. Thank you.
I'm trying to do math. Be quiet. It is, so at one point in the second half, Bart Sleash had run 5.82 miles already with 20 minutes to go. So my guess is Bart put in an Abe Gordon-like performance and ran probably in the neighborhood of 7 miles logged, 90 minutes on the night, and the ex-Abe, a .14, 75 touches. And with all of the running and all the activity and all the different lines he was a part of, 53 of 56 passing, which is 95%, 3 for 3 on long balls, 1 shot on target, one successful dribble attempt, 7 of 15 on his ground duels on the night, 7 of 15. So then you had fouled 3 times, 2 clearances, 3 picks, 3 tackles. That was Bart Sleash, and that was why he was player of the match.
Yeah, the difference between me running and him running is he's in a climate-controlled environment.
And running at a full sprint for that full starts and stops at 5.82. So my guess is, like I said, first half of the match in Toronto, he ran for 3.9.
Yeah.
I don't know what he finished up with, but I imagine it was in the neighborhood of 7 to 7.5.
Yeah.
5.82 at one point, early second half, I imagine somewhat of the same. So another 7-mile performance, and Bart putting in these numbers is just insane to me, that as physically fit as he is.
It is. I'm just saying he's going to have to hit the treadmill for a couple more to equal the
he's going to have. He's gonna, well, what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to hit the ice bath in the icy hot before he goes home.
For those keeping score at home, that is Sleash's second straight man of the match. He's won 3 of the last 4. And 4 of the last 6. I think there's been a very clear trend as to his significance for how this team is playing and how he's able to control and impact a game. Mm-hmm. So that is very clear. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear some of the highlights. We'll also hope to hear from some of the interviews going on downstairs as well. He is John Nelson of soccer down here. It's Abe Gordon. It is the full-time report. Atlanta United, their 3rd consecutive draw, this time 2-2 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Back in 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Benz Stadium, a now nearly empty Mercedes-Benz Stadium, said they had 38,800 here. I'm not entirely
38882, I believe.
Not entirely buying all of them attending, but that's all right.
But 38882 was what was purchased. That was bought.
Those who were here, though, did get to see all the way through to the very end, 90-plus minutes. And it took, just like it did over the weekend, it took almost to the final kick of the match for Atlanta United to draw even. We'll let you hear it right now as part of the highlights. They are brought to you by SCANA. For over 20 years, SCANA Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. I had barely got
you and me both, brother.
I had barely gotten my fork to the first bite of mac and cheese provided by the
how
staff
was the
here.
Mac and cheese
it was
tonight,
very
by the
good.
Way.
I'll let you know how it sits through that run later tonight.
Thank you, sir.
But I barely even realized it had happened, but it did happen. And what I wrote down in my notes here in the second minute was a bouncing accidental Olympico off the boot of
sounds Phillip. Like a travel movie from the 80s, some artsy film, the accidental Olympico.
Well, a guy that's been dangerous before this year, Philip Zinkernagel, put this one in.
We're only in the second minute. Zinkernagel sends it into the near post, and it's bounced into the net. It is an Olympico. You have got to be kidding me. That bounce past everyone and off the far post and in for an Olympico by Philip Zinkernagel. And it's 1-0 Chicago.
Yeah, it's tough for Goose because he's got to play the deflection off Gutman.
And Gutman's fronting.
He's there. Gutman's there for a deflection. I thought maybe it glanced off of Gutman, and that's what threw Goose off. It didn't touch him at all.
But the flinch threw him off.
No, he's got to play the deflection. Yeah. He's got to play for it to be played off of Gutman. And unfortunately, sometimes you can recover and tip it wide. It wasn't that. That wasn't happening in this one. So it was an ugly goal. It was an unfortunate goal. You feel bad because you pour 3 days into preparing for this and you warm up and your defenses look pretty good at times over the past couple matches. And essentially what is a rec league mistake, not to blame anyone, but that sometimes the ball bounces weird.
Yeah.
It puts you at the deficit early.
Yeah, and the way that I looked at it, literally you have Andrew Gutman, who is fronting Brad Gazan. Zinkernagel sends the ball in, and it looks like Andrew is trying to figure out how to do flick header to the far post, and he stays down. So literally he's up, and then he flinches down, and then Brad is kind of stuck in the in-betweens, and the ball ends up going past him to the far post and in. And so the movie starring, I guess, Daniel Day-Lewis and Gina Davis or something like that, the accidental Olympico makes it.
Yeah, it looked like he was trying to get the slightest glance just to move it a little bit. Ended up that being enough to throw off Goose. That goal held from the second minute all the way into halftime. And Atlanta United came out looking pretty refreshed on the other side. And 11 minutes passed. The restart, Alexi Moronchuk had a really nice strike from range.
Clear, and Chicago now countering, 2v3 down the right wing. Good play, Bartek Schlies dispossessing Zinkernagel, taking it back up the near touchline, slaloming into the attacking third left side. Square ball to the top of the arc, Almiron to Moronchuk, right side of the 18. He'll shoot, off the post and in! From Russia with love, Alexei Moronchuk finds the equalizer for Atlanta United.
Yeah, he's had a couple where he's been able to put it on his left foot somewhere near the top of the box and just place it. It wasn't hit incredibly hard. It was bouncing, which makes it incredibly difficult, and it was just placed perfectly. Like you said, may have even had a slight touch from the keep, but gets onto the post, goes in, and we are tied 1-1.
Bart with the hockey assist there, and you heard in Mike Conti's call where Bartek Schlies engaged in the play and made another one of those runs of his where he's in possession, comes up the near side, even with the edge of the 18, finds Miggy at the top of the arc, and then Miggy, with a bunch of wide space off his right shoulder, finds Medanchuk. Medanchuk comes back in, and he cuts it. And he kind of short-hopped it inside the six where he shoots it through traffic with the left. I think Brady might have picked it up a little late as he's trying to go to the far post to it. And it short-hops about 2 yards away from the goal line. So as Brady's diving on the goal line, it's already hopped, and Brady can't make the catch and the grab. So it ends up tied at 1 with Medanchuk there.
And the 79th minute, Chicago takes the lead again. Looked like a little bit of pinball falls towards a lucky touch. And then Marin Haile Selassie did have a very nice finish from about 6 yards out.
Drop back to Elliott. Flick to Diabla. Ahead to Zinkernagel. Ahead to spins away from Schlies. Drives down the left channel. Gutman overlapping. That's where he goes. Left side of the 18. Cut back pass. Haile Selassie dribbles past Morales and scores. Haile Selassie dribbled right past Efren Morales and scores the go-ahead goal in the 79th minute.
Yeah, it just found some dangerous space, made a quick touch, and then he was in on Goose, and Goose had no shot at that one.
When Chicago had numbers on the left-hand side attacking the near post, I will say when you look at the replay, very, very cheeky move by Haile Selassie to get it around Morales.
Yeah, really nice. Really nice touch.
To make sure that he had just that little bit of open space, gets it past him on the hop, and then puts it in to make it 2-1.
Yeah, and it looked like it was going to be unfortunate for Atlanta United. It looked like they had played pretty well, but were headed towards a one-goal defeat. But once again, deep into stoppage time from the set piece, Will Riley. A little bit of scramble, but we'll take it all the same. Puts in the equalizer.
About a minute 20 to play. Alexei puts his arm in the air and drops it. Sends it into the penalty spot. It's loose in the goal. That score! Stabbed into the net by Will Riley! How about that for your first MLS goal? Chicago could not clear the corner, and Riley from inside the six with a slam dunk to maybe steal a point for Atlanta United.
Kind of a little karate flying kick to because he had to get it the way he couldn't wait for the ball to come down. It would have been touched out. He had to get a little acrobatic in between this game and on Saturday. I mean, two of the latest goals in relation to how much time was left in the game. Obviously, this goal was in the 94th. We were talking about 101st the other night. But they had listed 5 minutes of stoppage time, and you're scoring 94 in 30 seconds or whatever it was. And Will Riley scrambles, gets it done, and you're able to secure a point.
Homegrown, hometown, slam dunk. And I think it went off of Chicago defender, went off of Efren Morales, and then it ends up in the scramble at the far post for Will Riley to put it in. Mike Conte on the 280-character app. Atlanta United has scored 4 second-half stoppage time goals this year, 1 game winner, and 3 equalizers. So that, once again, a lot of folks were sitting there saying, this, you know, Atlanta United seems to have done this a lot north of 90 minutes. Fourth time to get it points picked up, either one on 3 separate occasions or a game winner on 1 occasion.
Well, those are the highlights. When we come back, we'll continue to break down the game tonight and also what it means just as we move forward for the table and the pressure. I know there's been talk about a lot of pressure it now puts on Atlanta for these next 2 home games. We'll talk about that as well. We can also take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. There were a couple really big games in the Eastern Conference I want to talk about a little bit later in the show as well. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon. This is the full-time report live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 92.9.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The game. Atlanta United looked like it was headed towards defeat, but a 94th minute equalizer from the youngster Will Riley secures Atlanta United's 3rd straight draw. They are unbeaten at home in 3 straight matches as well. Goes back to a 2-match win streak before 49 days.
The Club World Cup.
49 days, if my math is right. See how I can do that math quickly?
Yeah, because you probably wrote it down.
I did
somewhere.
Earlier. That's right.
See, I was doing math on the fly, and you sit there and you get it all figured out. You wrote your notes down.
We don't have to tell the people that. They don't need to know that. Hey, if you're out and about tomorrow, make sure you have an opportunity to stop by either the Napa Auto Parts on East Cobb Drive or in Marietta, or the Napa Auto Parts on Cobb Parkway North in Marietta. Atlanta United from 3 to 5, an opportunity for a car flag giveaway. There's also going to be special Atlanta United alumni giveaways, games, and much more. Again, a free Atlanta United car flag from 3 to 5 tomorrow at the Napa Auto Parts on East Cobb Drive or on Cobb Parkway in Marietta.
There's your know-how.
There you go. Will Riley.
Yes.
Caught up after the game with Maddie and Jason. Here's how it sounded as the homegrown punched home the equalizer. Let's go ahead and head here because there is – I almost hesitate to do this.
Yes.
Because it's going to bring math right back into the equation.
Yes.
But we are well beyond halfway point now in terms of the season. And they got a point 3 matches ago. They got a point 2 matches ago. And they got a point in this match. That math is not going to be enough to get you into the playoffs.
No, I think it was somewhere north of 2.1 on average heading into this weekend. So if you...
And it had been, by the way, even before you picked up 2 points in draws, it had been 1.7.
Yeah, so I think you're up to like 2.1, 2.2
and
on
so
average.
And so we say this to say that you have 12 matches, just a quick glance.
Yeah.
And you have got to get 3 points. You've got a road game, and I'm just bouncing around on the schedule here.
Sure.
You've got a road game against Nashville, one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. You've got a home game against San Diego later in the summer. They're the top team currently in the Western Conference. Remember that game against Inter-Miami? That was part of the road trip.
The pushback.
That got pushed back. Right. So you've got a road game against Inter-Miami. Now, maybe they've secured what they need to secure and aren't playing their guys. That's certainly not what you want to count on when you look at these matches.
No, it's a match on the calendar.
It's a really – I mean, Seattle's in on this as well. I didn't mention Columbus. I mean, you don't have a lot of games where you can look at it and say 3 points, 3 points, 3 points. Here's what's most frustrating, John. If I looked at the schedule and I said 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, it would have been in this stretch where you got draw, draw, draw.
Understood.
I think you could go on the road, theoretically, go on the road and beat DC United.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to go on the road after they sold the Italians. And they're in complete disarray.
After they disposed of this, like,
correct.
No, you're out the door. In Toronto.
And beaten Toronto.
Yeah.
And with respect to Chicago and their offensive firepower, I think you would have felt good coming back home.
Understood, even though they have done better at on the road than they have at home this year.
And they have second most goals in all the Eastern Conference, and you're going to have to deal with that. And tonight they did. But when I look at it, it was one of these things where this was the ball being dropped.
Yeah.
And I find it very difficult to believe that there is a path now into the postseason. To be fair, John, I said that like 5 straight weeks last year.
Right, and that was the point I was going to bring up, but continue.
Well, are we counting on getting that much help from that many opponents? Because last year it felt more like an anomaly than – you took care of business and found a way, right?
Right, but this year, and the point was made by Mike and Jason on the broadcast, that the folks that were 6, 7, 8, 9, and really 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, they did not help you out tonight. They did not do that at all. And you have the team that is number 9 coming to Mercedes-Benz Stadium on the weekend. The team that whose owner proclaimed out of the blocks when he had his first press conference involving his club, that this was his rival. And so the folks who are minty fresh.
And they no longer have one of their more dangerous.
Yeah, Patrick Ajimong, who was apparently playing with a hernia that they were managing.
Well,
and so now he's at Derby County, and so that puts more pressure on folks like Leo Labata and Pep Biel. Well,
Pep had a couple today. So.
Yeah, so there was definite pep in their step in Charlotte. So the teams that were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, they were not helping you out tonight. Charlotte beats D.C. Messi and friends lose to Cincinnati. That one keeps them at 5, and they lose a match, and they maintained a match in hand. Red Bulls beat New England 5-3. And you also have NYC knocking off the purple team 2-1. And you've also got right now, I think, the last match that is going on in the Eastern Conference that officially went final has to do with teams 3 and 4, and Nashville got a big win tonight, 3-0. But the teams that were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 really didn't help you out a whole lot tonight in navigating the distance with 12 matches to go. You are 12 points back to the get-in, with 12 regular season matches to go. So there is work to do, and it's got to be, like I said, I think the average is, I think, 2.1, 2.2 going forward.
Yeah, and so you've really got to start to rack up win after win after win, and that's going to need to start on Saturday night against Charlotte. When we come back, we will hear from Will Riley. We'll also talk about Charlotte, some of the changes we just mentioned there, and how they've been able to pull it together despite some of those maneuverings. That's what's coming up next. It is Abe Gordon, John Nelson, the full-time reporter. Laney United does grab a point, a 2-2 draw. We'll hear from the equalizer, Will Riley, in just
the
a moment.
Equalizer.
On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back in, Abe Gordon, John Nelson, a soccer down here. The full-time report continues as Will Riley, the homegrown, got a goal tonight in the fourth minute of stoppage time that sent Atlanta United home with 1 point, a 2-2 draw. Will Riley spoke after the game. Just let me know in my ear if you can get that ready for air or not. Oh, there we go. Say that again, Dom. All right, let's try it again. One last give or go, if it's now or never. It's not working. Okay, it's not working. A little bit of technical difficulties there, unfortunately. Would have liked to have heard from Will Riley because he came into this game, and we saw Luke Brennan come into this game as part of a triple change there. I think Tia Ray was the third sub,
Jamal,
I believe, at that same time.
And remember, we talked about the ball that Luke sent in to Jamal for the header that was wide as one of the late chances.
Yeah, there were a couple. Togashi came on later in the match as well. So a lot of young guys, a lot of academy kids getting their opportunities here. And we've seen it make a difference. Yeah. I know we talked about the past couple of games. Morales has been, I think, very good. And I'm certainly not putting – I know, I guess he got beat on that second goal, but I certainly am not putting that on him. No, I have to say what happened, but I'm certainly not putting that goal
was,
on him. I thought
also,
he played very well.
But he was also outnumbered.
Yeah,
attack.
I thought he was absolutely fine.
Five clearances on the night for Efren Morales, one block, one tackle, 6 for 9 on his duels on the evening, fouled once, 101 touches, 82 of 87 passing at 94%, had one long ball and was successful 2-on-3 on the dribble.
Yeah, so there you go on that one. Real quick, Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $4,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $4,000. We also saw the return of Brad Guzan. Thought he played pretty well tonight. He had a couple of – again, you go back to Jaden Hibbert, right, the other night.
Understood.
And he's got to make a couple of really big saves to put you and keep you in position where you can find that 101st-minute goal, find an equalizer, find a draw. I would say almost not performance-wise not identical, but storyline very identical. You needed a couple massive saves from Goose in that second half to keep it what at the time was either 1-1 or 2-1, depending on – if it was before or after that goal,
right?
To keep it within reach, and you were able to find the equalizer. He played outstanding tonight.
Six saves on the night for Brad Guzan, five of them inside the 18. 34 touches. Get this. Passing for Brad tonight, 21 of 23 passing, 91%, 4 of 6 on long balls tonight, and he had the one clearance as well and a couple of kick saves. So a big night for the Hamburglar, as Mike called him.
All right, you mentioned it. Charlotte got a 2-1 win tonight at DC United. They are coming here on Saturday night. Atlanta United will be in the second of three straight home matches. You were getting a little giddy in the break about the prospects of Atlanta United facing Charlotte. You're going to tell me exactly what you are seeing and why it makes you a little bit ready for Saturday night. That's what's coming up as we wrap things up in our final segment. 5 minutes away. It is the full-time report. Abe Gordon, John Nelson on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United finds a 2-2 draw in stoppage time, courtesy of a Will Riley goal. Alexei Maranchuk had scored earlier in the match for Atlanta United, who played almost the entire first half from a trailing position after a lucky bounce sent in a corner kick from Philip Zinkernagel in the second minute. We are also keeping our eyes on some of the other scores, out-of-town scoreboard, if you want to call it that. Cincinnati at home, very impressive in a 3-0 loss over Inter-Miami. This is in a midweek showing that Inter-Miami started their guys. This was their squad, and they were held off the score sheet. Nashville, another one that we had highlighted in our pregame show. They hold home serve as well, 3-0 at Columbus. What an incredible turnaround for Nashville from the early stages of the season to where
BJ
they are
Callahan.
Now. No, I get it. I just – you never count those guys out.
BJ Callahan and Gary Smith.
And the other game that's of significance, I guess, would be Charlotte at home. Again, they beat DC United 2-1 as well. So that's who's coming in now. And you were looking at a couple of notes, taking a couple of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing about what could take place here, this very stadium, Saturday night?
Well, obviously, no more Patrick Ajimong. He is now property of Darby County, so you won't have the power.
You could pick up the medical bills.
Yeah, it's all you. So you had Toklamati starting up top, and you had at the back, you had a back four of Marshall Ruddy, Ream, Edelson Melanda, and Bill Tuiloma. Tuiloma played most of the match. Tuiloma was subbed out with 20 to go. Scardina came in to substitute for him. Tim Ream, by the way, played the full 90 minutes at the back. What is Tim Ream's body going to tell him over the next couple of days at the age of 37, I believe? You know, what it's going to be with the back four there. So I'm intrigued what it's going to look like at the back. And I think that the speed that Atlanta United has can run at that back line. Christian Kalina has proved himself to be somewhat more human this year than he has been in years past. So I am intrigued to see what that lineup's going to look like on SDH AM tomorrow morning. We're going to catch up with Will Pelagic, the play-by-play voice of
my guy, Willie P.
Yeah, Willie P. Styles is going to be on the show tomorrow morning at 9:15. So we're going to get our quick intel on Charlotte from tonight and try to prep the minty fresh rivalry as the team comes down I-85 for the weekend.
Special thanks to Dom Cheroski.
Special thanks.
Producer back in studio to John Kramer right here, our on-site engineer.
Legend.
For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, and Madison Cruz, and of course you, John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. It's Abe Gordon. Join us again, 6:30 on Saturday, July 19th, for our next broadcast as Atlanta United will take on Charlotte FC. Once again, the final score today, Atlanta United 2 and Chicago Fire 2. That's going to do it for the full-time report right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.